This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Kenirie. Thanks for joining us. Regular listeners to WGCU and this show will have noticed that this show's normal host, Julie Glenn, has not been on the air for the past 3 months or so. She learned at the beginning of July that she had a brain tumor. She's been transparent about that diagnosis and everything she's been through since, including surgery to remove the tumor and 6 weeks of radiation and chemotherapy treatments, which wrapped up last week. Now she's back in the saddle as our news director and Gulf Coast Live host, so we thought we'd continue that transparency now. Julie Glenn, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Hey, it's great to be here.
How you doing?
Good. Good.
What's the latest?
The latest is, so July...
Yeah, give us a little summary for listeners who don't know what you've been through.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a summer. And in fact, it feels like it was just yesterday. July 2nd, I'd had some weird headaches for like a week. And then I had this weird little moment of, you know, I probably really should go get this checked out. I did. Turns out there was a tumor in my brain on the right-hand side, towards the middle and towards the back. And they had to get that out. So then I was here locally, and then I decided this is my brain. Anything else, just fine, cut it off. But I like my brain. So I went and did some research, and I went to a couple different places, and I ended up going to Mayo Clinic up in Jacksonville. It's 5.5 long hours in the car.
No easy way to get to Jacksonville from Fort Myers.
I tried to avoid Orlando so much. No offense to Orlando, but the traffic there is not fun.
What was it about Mayo that sealed the deal for you?
I walked in, and I felt like everybody that was working there on a mission. Like they wanted to make people better. It didn't feel like a business. I mean, I know everything, you know, is, but it didn't feel like they were just running numbers, just trying to get people through in and out. It felt like they really genuinely cared and were, I mean, from the front desk all the way up, really cared about the people that were there. Even your triage nurse or somebody just asking all the little questions, very welcoming, very warm, and very positive. There was not a whole lot of negativity. But when you get a brain tumor, there's a lot of negativity that you're going to read.
Right.
Which was the worst thing, is getting on the internet.
So walk through the treatment process that you've been through. How quickly did you have the surgery after you found out what was going on?
Well, it was July 2nd that I found out what was going on. By the next week, I was at Mayo talking with the doctor, who was brilliant. And he looked very young in his picture. And it was cute because his assistant was like, I know he looks really young, but he's not that young. I was like, you know what? Don't apologize. I'd rather have somebody that's young and courageous working on me than somebody who's been doing this for 45 years. I was like, oh, that's another one, you know? So I wanted somebody that was going to really be as aggressive and inventive and forward-thinking as possible. So he was great. But so within a week, I was scheduled for surgery, which is brain surgery. And that's kind of scary, but I didn't really get scared until I was going in. And they were putting in the anesthetic. There's a vulnerability that I'm not familiar with. I've never really been somebody that's scared, and I'm not someone who feels vulnerable very often. And this was probably the first time I felt that way. Like a newborn pink little mouse, like with nothing. I felt like that. It's just the weirdest feeling to me. But kind of got used to that and then just power through. So I went in, did the surgery. It took 5.5 hours, and I had friends come in from all around the country, and we all rented a big Airbnb. So I brought my husband and daughter, so they were able to hang out with my daughter, so she didn't have to stay at the hospital the whole time. Meanwhile, my husband sat in the waiting room with my friend, who's a nurse, who came in from Wichita, and worried the whole time. And it was good. I got out of it. I was fine. They said the biggest issue would be the first 48 hours to make sure I get through that, because there's a potential for complications.
Sure. Yeah, any kind of surgery, especially
by
brain surgery.
Yeah, I woke up and I thought, God, this is the worst headache ever. And I had earplugs in, and I hate earplugs, but they had done an MRI while I was in the middle of surgery. So they stopped surgery, stuck me in an MRI machine, which was in the operating room, to make sure they got everything, and took me back out, finished up surgery, took out a little bit of stuff. You know, you can't get margins in the brain, because margins in the brain is like all your 80s song lyrics and whatever, ability to read and write, things like that. They told me I might not be able to read and write when I woke up.
That must have been scary for somebody who does what you do.
Well, I was like, if I'm alive, I really don't care. Honestly, yeah. I was just like, whatever, do what you got to do. I need to stay alive. So that's really honestly how I felt. And when I woke up, first thing I did was look across the room at, here's your nurse for this, whatever, and I could read it. So I was like, okay, I can read. That's good. Turns out I'm kind of ambidextrous. They thought because it's on the right-hand side and I'm left-handed, they would be interfering with that part of my brain. But I throw right-handed, so apparently my language is on the opposite side. Hmm. So I kind of got lucky there. I got lucky in a lot of ways. I think I feel like I got it really early. They got everything out. And there was some like solution I drank that made everything turn hot pink that was a cancerous cell type thing. So they were able to get everything. And the doctor came out of the surgery and felt very good. He goes, I got 100% of everything out. Everything in there that was a tumor is gone. So that was great news. I mean, that's the best you can hope for. And then within a day, I was walking around and doing laps around the ICU because they want to make sure you can walk and that you're coordinated and you can handle that. And I could. I could eat. I could walk. I could read and write. And everything's fine. And I could see. Actually, I could see a little bit more clearly too.
Is that atypical for what you'd been through? You know, you have a pretty strong constitution.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I don't know if it's atypical, but I've read a lot of stories about people that had a really hard time after these surgeries where they have to relearn how to swallow and eat. They have to relearn how to walk. They have a really tough time. Some people end up on feeding tubes. So, yeah, that was the thing. So I was lucky.
And so now you've been through 5 weeks of what?
6 weeks.
6 weeks?
6 weeks of radiation and chemo. And it was a targeted radiation to the place where the tumor lived, which I named Felicia because it was the Buy Felicia meme. So the tumor's gone 100%. And in his notes, he said it had a tenacious rind, which sounds weird, but makes me feel encouraged because it's like, okay, well, it was pretty closed off from everything else. And I mean, I guess. I don't know. I'm not obviously a medical person. But they sent that thing off for analysis, and it turns out it is considered it had some cells in it that were considered grade 4 glioblastoma, which if you look up on the internet is really, really negative. But one of the things that I've learned through all of the looking up anything on the internet is that studies and data tend to be a little bit outdated. It takes a long time to assemble data and to publish data. And the medical world is moving much more quickly than these studies are able to keep up with. And then also, studies don't always relate to the individual. It's like a conglomerate, I mean, a huge amalgam of everybody has had this thing.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the diagnoses, 70% of people that are diagnosed with this are 65 and over. But I'm not 65 and over. So how can I listen to that? How does that relate to me? Mm-hmm. So and then I'm thinking – and those studies don't really take into consideration how many people have had 100% surgical excision is what they call it, takeout. So I've been lucky in a lot of ways. There are a lot of things going for me, which is that they got all of it out surgically that they could. I mean there, anything that was a tumor that had any grade 4 in it is gone. The other thing is that I'm younger than most people that end up having this. And also I'm kind of a strong constitution person. So like, I mean, I had 6 weeks of chemo and the worst thing is I can't taste wine.
Well, and you came back, you came back to work the day after you finished 6 weeks of chemo and radiation.
Yeah.
You know, and here we are.
I've just always had a digestive tract like a billy goat. So I'm very fortunate and I'm probably the only person who goes through a cancer treatment and doesn't lose weight. Which is fine. That was going to be my silver lining, but whatever. They said, please don't, because they've calibrated everything based on my height and weight. So if I went on some extreme diet, it would have messed up their stuff, how they had planned it out.
So how do you feel now?
I feel good, but I feel tired. Part of the brain healing process, you don't really feel hurt because you don't have – I mean, the only thing you really feel is when it swells up in a reaction to stuff. It's like a hangover without the dehydration. Mm-hmm. So when your brain is swollen up, it just feels a lot of pressure and a headache. So you get that, but they have me on steroids that are very specific to the brain. But the thing with the steroid, it takes the swelling down, so it makes it better. So you don't really have any pain, but you do feel very tired. Part of the healing process is you have to just sleep and turn everything off.
So what's next? When will you go back for a follow-up? What's the –
Okay.
What lies in your future?
Well, the future of the protocol is I have to go back at the end of October. They will do a scan, an MRI scan, and see how things look. And then I think I have to go for 1 week a month for 6 months back on the chemo, which is an oral. You just take a pill. So I don't have to go anywhere and have a port or anything like that. So I go back on that for 5 days a month for 6 months, I think. allegedly. So we will see.
You've had a lot of friends step up throughout this, right?
That's the only thing that's made me cry this whole time. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not crying because I've been learning how to suck tears back in and get it together because I cry at the drop of a hat these days. But yeah. Damn it.
It's okay.
No, my friends have been awesome. I mean, you just don't know. You don't know how good friends are till you need them. Damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But they came from Los Angeles, Wichita, Kansas City. They've closed stores to drive up with me for Jacksonville. Like every week I had a different friend go with me to Jacksonville because I didn't trust myself to drive. But I can. I'm fine. I was just worried. And then being tired and driving 5.5 hours is not so fun. And I also didn't want to go by myself. But I had a different friend every week go with me, and it was just incredible. So.
Well, we are glad you're back.
Me too.
We are glad to be counted among your friends.
Yeah.
And we look forward to making more radio with you as we go.
Yeah, we will.
Julie Glenn is our news director and the regular host of this show. Julie, thank you.
Thanks.